Welcome to From the Nosebleeds, an NBA perspective from the cheap seats.
I'm Daniel Hansen.
And I'm Jaden Johnson. And we're just a couple of guys who love the NBA but can never afford the good tickets.
So we're always sitting up in the cheap seats, the nosebleeds.
Except for during the summer league.
When nobody wants to watch it anyways.
You can get a nice close-up seat for like $5. But we're going to be giving you a third-party college student sit-up-in-the-nosebleed kind of perspective of the NBA and just how we view it.
In other words, we don't know crap, but we're going to pretend that we do and talk about the NBA.
And we're going to give it to you in the realest way possible. Because let's be honest, it's sports. There's nothing that needs to be professional and formal about it. We're just going to talk basketball the way that people talk basketball. And I couldn't be more excited to do it.
Yeah, we got a good show set up today to set up with that. I mean, Tuesday's the start of the NBA season. So we're going to preview everything we can about the NBA, going through all six divisions, every one of the 30 teams, and possibly even give out a couple of awards of our own making.
I think you mean un-awards.
We'll explain later.
Yeah, I mean, when's a better time to start doing our very first episode of the podcast than coming right into NBA season? And I am just so hyped. I'm so excited. I can't do this preseason garbage any longer. I've watched about 5 minutes of it, and I'm done. Done. It's terrible.
I'm just ready for the players to actually give a crap, because like, preseason, like, the people fighting for the last roster spot, they care. They're playing freaking hard.
Yeah,
nobody else
is.
Nobody else is. No one wants to see JaVale McGee fight for the 15th roster spot. We want to see LeBron James over JaVale McGee.
Yeah. So, NBA season's coming up. We're going to look through every single division in the NBA and kind of get a closer up look on the five teams in each division and just what we're expecting from them, where we think that they'll finish. So, I mean, what's a better place to start than with the division of the returning champs, the Cleveland Cavaliers? That is the Central Division.
And after you say the Cavaliers, there's pretty much nothing else in the division to say.
Right.
I mean, just the rundown.
I don't know, man. I think that the Central Division might actually be the toughest division in the East.
It's the East. I mean, they're tougher than the Magic and the Nets. That's not a whole lot of celebratory accolades to receive.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and just hate on the East Coast because West Coast bias. I guess Utah's West Coast. I don't know. Western Conference territory. But, here's the thing. Last season, everyone was super hyped about the East. Everyone was, I guess not super hyped, but everyone thought that the gap was closing in. Going into the season, they thought that some talent had moved from the West to the East and that it would be a much closer, but I just didn't see it. And, you know, I think that this season is going to be just as big, if not a bigger gap between the West and the East.
I mean, you look at the East, like several of the top teams kind of regressed in the offseason. I mean, I don't think the Bulls got better, of course.
No,
I don't think, people talk about the Knicks. I mean, of course, the Hawks lost Horford. But, like, looking through the Central Division as well, I mean, I think it's a decent division. I think you look at the Pacers, the Bucks, and Pistons and Bulls. I think they'll all be kind of hovering around 500 for most of the season. But, I mean, the Cavaliers are going to have this wrapped up in 20 games.
Yeah, I don't think anybody in the East is going to really challenge them too much. Unless, of course, the Cavaliers do as the Spurs do and not really play hard throughout most of the season and then just show up the last little, you know, midway through the season and win some games and then sit their stars through the rest of the season. That's a possibility. But I actually do like some of these teams in the Central Division as a possible playoff contender for the Cavaliers. I think that you very well may have four of your Eastern Conference playoff teams in that division in the Cavaliers, the Pistons, the Pacers, and the Bucks.
I can see that. I mean, I think all five will be in contention. for playoff spots, really. I mean,
do you see any of those four missing the playoffs?
Of Bulls, Cavaliers.
No, of the Cavaliers, Pistons, Pacers, and Bucks.
The Bucks, maybe. I mean, just because they lost Chris Middleton for like 5 months, I think. And he's a big part of what they do. I mean,
he is.
I mean,
they've still got a lot of pieces there, though.
They have a lot of pieces, but they don't have a lot of shooting, is their problem. I mean, they have Giannis. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name.
The Greek freak.
Yeah, the Greek freak. That's easier to say. But he can't shoot. They have Matthew Dellavedova.
He can't shoot.
He's just going to lay bricks all season now within a starting role. Jabari Parker can't shoot.
I've also got Michael Beasley.
Michael Beasley still is not good on the three-point line, but, I mean, he can at least create his own shot.
You got Greg Monroe. I think that
they're spacing.
Thon Maker may make a little bit of a difference for them this year.
He's going to be interesting to watch, I mean, just because, I mean, we'll actually be able to see him, first of all.
Sure.
But, I mean, looking at the roster, it's going to be tough on offense for them, I think, just to be able to generate good looks that they can actually hit with a substantiative rate, I guess.
I think that they get in. And probably in that seven or eight slot. I haven't made a definitive list of where I think every team's going to finish 1 through 8 and beyond. But I think that they get in. I really do think that those four teams from that division get in. The Bulls, I think, are in for a rough one.
They're going to have a lot of injuries, to be honest, this year.
Yeah, you know, I'll talk a little bit more about Dwayne Wade later. But I do think that they're kind of in for one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really get their roster construction. You've got Fred Hoiberg there who wants to do more pace and space stuff. You hand him Jimmy Butler, who's good but not terrific on the perimeter for shooting.
I don't think that he's the star.
Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, I don't think Butler is the star that people thought he was a few years ago.
I think he could be, but, I mean, he's been trying to rely on Derrick Rose and Pau Gasol for the past couple of years to kind of carry the load.
Yeah.
If you put him on, like, the trade rumors that were going around with, like, the Celtics or the Timberwolves, I think he'd be looking a lot better, I think, than he would be on the Bulls.
To be honest, I think that Gasol being gone is going to hurt them more than they realize. Not that he's an elite NBA player at this point in his career, but I think that his absence is going to hurt them quite a bit.
Yeah, just because they don't really have much to, like, replace him with. I mean, they'll have – Mirotić is going to be good for them, I think.
Sure.
But Gibson will be just kind of the regular old, like, standby they've got. They also lost Noah as well, so they're kind of thin up front.
Okay, but so if you're looking through this division and ranking the teams in order of finish, what do you see there?
Cavaliers first, of course.
Okay.
I think Pacers actually get the fourth seed in the East.
You think so?
I like the way their team's set up. I think Jeff Teague and Paul George are going to be pretty good together. Pistons and Bucks, I put right on the fringe of the playoffs. I think one of those two will probably make it in. The other one will be like 9th spot. Bulls, I'd probably be 10th. So Cavaliers, Pacers, Bucks, Pistons, and then Bulls.
I think I'm pretty much right there with you. I really like the Pistons, though. I think that I like them a lot more than you do. Maybe it's my fandom coming out, because, I mean, not that I'm a Pistons fan or anything. I just really like a lot of the players that they have on that team, and I really like the build of that team. I like their style of play, just a really gritty, tough, not going to put up a ton of points on you, but, man, they're going to show up for every single game and be in pretty much every single game kind of team.
I'd be a little bit higher on them, but, again, I mean, injuries kind of have already hurt them, with Reggie Jackson missing the first, like, 20 games of the season is kind of what I'm hearing.
And his return is going to be a big piece, I think, if he's able to return it and be back at full health.
It's going to be whether or not they can survive the first 20 games at, like, about .500, I would think. Then I think that I would love their chances for the playoffs, but they're going to have a struggle on offense without him, just because Reggie Jackson is a big piece for them.
But, oh, yeah. Yeah, so I think that in that division I'm going Cavaliers number one, and then I'm going I'll say Pistons and then Pacers. No, I'll say Pacers and then Pistons, but I think it's close. Those two may be right next to each other in the standings, and then the Bucks and then the Bulls. So moving up, huh?
I'm just going to put just a plug for the Pacers. I think they're just a kind of one bracket above, I guess, the other teams there. Still below the Cavaliers, but I think they kind of run away with second place there.
Sure. Okay, so looking at another division in the East, we got the Atlantic, and that's an interesting division for me because the Celtics, who knows, you know, they've made some big additions, obviously, in the offseason, and you never know what adding a player like Al Horford could do for that team. And then the Raptors, they, you know, they're always one of the top teams in the East and one of the only teams that can ever hang in there with Cleveland.
At least at home.
You got the Sixers, who are obviously winning the championship this year.
Joel Embiid, Finals MVP.
So, yeah, I mean, you can't even reckon with them.
Yeah, this division's just super top-heavy. Like, it's ridiculously top-heavy.
Yeah,
Raptors and Celtics are probably second and third in the East. Like, that's...
They're upper half in the East.
Yeah, at least upper half.
Upper four.
They're going to fight it out, I think, with the Pacers and the Hornets are the only other team I think will be up there.
That's fair.
But then it just falls off the table. Knicks are the third best team in the division, and that's bad. And then 76ers and Nets are just going to fight over the basement.
Yeah, I mean, you got probably the two worst, if not two of like the three or four worst in the league, in the 76ers and the Nets. And I don't think I'm as low on the Knicks as you are. The Knicks, I don't think, are going to be a playoff team this year, but I don't think that they're the cellar dwellers of the NBA.
I don't think they'll be cellar
dwellers. I think that they're going to be probably 9th or 10th seed. It's going to be – I mean, that's definitely like one of the, as you call them, the league pass darlings of the NBA this year because at least at the beginning of the season, there's a lot of mystery there of – how are all these ex-superstars, all these nursing home patients going to click together?
Yeah, the Knicks are like if the movie The Expendables was a basketball team. Like, you know, this is just a bunch of like has-beens that have been shot in the face too many times to count, and they're going to try and go for one last run and blow up a plane.
Yeah.
It'll be fun to watch, but I mean, no one really thinks The Expendables is the greatest movie of all time. That's where the Knicks are going
to
be for me.
I'd like to meet somebody who does.
I think they'd be a massive douche, to be honest. We just lost some listeners there if you really like The Expendables. But
So we got to look at – I mean, the thing is so much of this depends on health. I think Jeff Hornacek is a really good coach. And, of course, coming from someone from Utah, from a Jazz fan, that's probably an obvious – thing for me to say, but he did really good things in Phoenix. He did really good things in Utah as a shooting coach. He was, you know, one of the coaches that Kyle Korver attributes his meteoric rise in shooting percentages to.
I think it depends on how much Phil Jackson gives to him, to be honest.
And I think that's fair to say. And that and health of the team, which I think that we can already kind of predict. Yeah, there's going to be some injuries there.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if Derrick Rose made it through an entire season. Nobody's expecting him to. You know, maybe they should just keep him around for the home games. I don't know. Derrick Rose, he's probably not going to make it through too many games. And then, of course, Joakim Noah and Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo's not getting older. I mean, the ceiling, I think, for this team is like 7th seed in the East, really. I mean, that's if everything clicks. And they stay healthy for the entire year. That's the highest they can reach for, really. So you're looking at almost a guaranteed first-round exit because I don't think they'd beat Toronto, Boston, or Cleveland, of course, in four times out of seven. So
let me say this. They would have slayed 5 years ago, 6, 7 years ago. This team would have killed in the NBA, except I guess Kristaps Porzingis would be like 14 years old.
Yeah,
he'd still probably be 6 foot.
He still might be better than current Joakim Noah. So, 14-year-old Kristaps versus broken down Joakim with a man bun.
Yeah. Hey, but don't write off Ronnie Baker.
On that note, kind of going to the top of the division there, Celtics and Raptors is going to be interesting the entire year, I think.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean,
I totally
you agree. Look at last year, I mean, Raptors, I think, won 56 games. And Boston was about like 48.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look. Raptors lost Biombo, and they're gaining Damari Carroll back, I guess, from injury. And then the Celtics add Al Horford. It's going to be interesting to see who's going to actually come out on top for that, because you don't really know what's going to happen in the East. If Cleveland, like, rests during the regular season, the one seed could theoretically be up for grabs. I mean, Toronto only finished one game behind them last year.
Now, I think it is entirely possible that a Toronto or a Boston, like, team could grab that top spot.
So, I mean, it's interesting to see, of those two, who's going to actually climb over the other, and if they can catch Cleveland, because, I mean, it also could be LeBron sees that and like, heck no, I ain't losing the one seed, and then just goes on a tear the last 2 weeks.
You're going to have to win a lot of regular season games to get ahead of them.
Yeah.
No doubt. I think just looking at Toronto's roster, I like it, man. They were able to retain most of their roster from last year, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I can't really think of much that they lost.
Biombo's their biggest loss.
I mean, yeah, they lost Biombo, and he was huge for them in the playoffs, and he's a good defensive player, but
they don't lose any offense. It's not going to kill
them. Exactly.
But they lose a lot of defense and rebounding with him. Like,
but,
and
their
bench
unit. They've also got, if they have a healthy Damari Carroll, he's one of the top defensive players in the league. And I think that they've still got a decent defensive team. If they're able to stay healthy, especially that starting five, because what I'm seeing is not a ton of depth. They got a decent first starting lineup, and the first few men off the bench are pretty decent. After that, it really drops off for them.
Yeah, I think the big thing for them, one, is they need to get a contribution from Jacob Pertl or whatever the guy from Utah. Jakob Pertl. Like, if he can step in and kind of be a little bit of that, I guess, Biombo presence on the bench, that'd be huge for them.
He won't.
He probably won't. Like, I'm not.
He's a softy.
Yeah. But then it's also kind of going to ride with Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan like it does every year.
I mean,
if they play anything like they did in the playoffs, like, this team might not even be a playoff
team. Those two are ballers.
Right.
No question. Okay, so you're a Boston guy. I mean, let's not even hide it. Nope. Let's not try to mask the homerism as much as I'm sure you'll try to be fair. What are you seeing from Boston? I mean, I think that the initial knee-jerk reaction when they signed Horford, a lot of people were like, oh, man, these guys are challenging Cleveland this year. These guys might win the top seed. And I'm saying that's certainly possible, but what's Boston's Achilles heel, so to speak?
Boston's Achilles heel is rim protection, to be honest. They have, like, one of the best defenses in the NBA, which is amazing, that because they've been relying on, like, Amir Johnson and Kelly Olynyk to hold down their front court. Al Horford doesn't really upgrade that too much. He's a good defender, but he doesn't really alter shots. He doesn't really block shots. But he is going to be a step up from Kelly Olynyk. So giving that to a...
Yeah. Because wasn't Olynyk starting for them last year?
At times,
for part of the season at least.
They had a couple of injuries, but I mean, like, right. The wild card with Boston is Brad Stevens, to be honest.
He's an excellent coach, in my opinion.
Yeah, honestly, even as biased I am, I think he's the best coach in the NBA. When you look at what
he's up there.
Yeah, when you look at what he's been given.
You can't put him above Popovich, though. Come on.
I do, just because Popovich had Duncan, at least. I mean, if you're going to, I guess, ding Phil Jackson for having Michael Jordan and Kobe, you have to ding Popovich a bit for having Duncan as well. You look at the teams that Brad Stevens had the past couple of years, to get them to the playoffs is pretty remarkable. And to do the job he's done, have a good defense while you're starting Isaiah Thomas. I mean, you give him Al Horford, you give him what looks to be a much improved Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart as well. It's going to be a tough team to stop just because they're going to be so well coached.
I'll tell you what, they got a lot of young guys that are a lot of fun to watch. I mean, they were here at the Utah Jazz Summer League, and we went down and watched them. And I mean, it seems like half their roster was on that Summer League team. So seems like a very young team still, with now some veteran leadership.
Yeah, I mean,
with Horford.
You look, the starting five is probably going to be Isaiah Thomas with Avery Bradley, mm-hmm. Jay Crowder, Al Horford, and then you might be adding Kelly Olynyk in there for some floor spacing as well. And then you still have Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown coming off the bench. They're a deep team. They just don't lack, I think they just lack the superstar talent to actually be able to contend with Cleveland in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Regular season, yeah, I think they'll be right up there with the Raptors and Cavaliers all season. Once you're into like conference finals, it's going to be difficult for them to stay with.
All right, so real quick, give me your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the Atlantic.
Kind of going a little bit of a homer, but Celtics finish first. Raptors like a game behind. Then I think Knicks. Sixers I think will do a little bit better than we think, but still not that great. And then Nets, just they're just going to be a dumpster fire.
Yeah. I think the Celtics start the season slow, and I think that that'll hurt them. So I'm gonna put the Raptors probably winning by about 4 or 5 games at the end of the season, winning that division. And then the Celtics, then Knicks, Sixers, and Nets. I think that the Sixers are better than the Nets. There, I said it. Is that bold enough for you? I don't think it's bold.
Not really.
The Nets are awful.
And Sixers at least have some talent. Nets best players like Jeremy Lin. Or I guess Brooke Lopez. But anyways. Yeah.
So
there's one more division in the East, which frankly I think is the worst division in all of the NBA. You got the Southeast there. Hornets are decent. I think they're gonna be up there for like 5-4 seed.
I like the Hornets. I think that they're I think they're one of the upper four in the East.
I think right up there with like I think them and the Pacers are like right on the same kind of level.
Yeah.
But then Wizards, Heat, Hawks, and Magic all none of those scream confident playoff contender to me.
The Wizards could be around for the next 100 years, and every year they'll make the playoffs and lose in the first round or the second round and be totally forgotten.
Or just miss the playoffs by like 1 or 2 games, be the 9th seed.
Yep. They're just like the screaming definition of mediocre. Just a team that is just there, has never in recent history excelled at all or just been awful. So
I think in this division, Wizards, I don't think made the playoffs, or Heat or the Magic, of course. Either of those don't really have a roster, I think, to really
I think contend. I'm there with, yeah.
Hawks, I think, will probably get like a 6th or 7th seed. Because, I mean, they still have Dennis Schroeder, who's pretty good. Kyle Korver, of course. And Paul Millsap, who's one of the most underrated players in the league.
I agree with that.
I don't think they got enough to contend with, like, anybody above them, but enough to get into the playoffs at least.
I don't know, man. I kind of like what the Hawks have. I mean, it's nothing too much improved from what they were last year. I mean, of course, they lost Teague in the offseason.
And Horford.
But, you know, I don't know. Just looking top to bottom at their roster, I feel like that they've got a lot of – they're another somewhat young team. They got some older starters, but they got a lot of young talent on the team. This year I don't expect much from them. I'm right there with you towards the bottom of the playoff teams in the East, but I do think that a couple of years down the road, this might be a team to reckon with, because I really like DeAndre Bembry. Of course, a rookie coming up. I like Dennis Schroeder a lot. And, Taurean Prince is a fun player to watch in college. I think that his talent is going to translate very well to the NBA. And he's just going to ball out.
You got Dwight Howard on there, too. I mean,
that young man has got some potential.
Yeah, he does.
He has got a future in this league, that Dwight Howard.
Yeah, I mean, Hawks are going to be interesting to watch because they have all that young talent. Kent Bazemore is one of my favorite players in the league to watch. He's
awesome.
One of the most energetic guys, to be honest. But, I mean,
he would fit really well on the Detroit Pistons.
I would say the Spurs, to be honest. Like, yeah. You put Bazemore on the Spurs, he's pretty much Danny Green, but better. But
that's fair.
Yeah. But you look at the Hawks, are they better than last year? No. I think they're a little bit worse. They struggled with the Celtics in the playoffs, got absolutely smoked by the Cavaliers again. I think it'll be a good season. I mean, another year of Hawks playoff basketball, but I'm not sure there's much beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue with that. This division to me is really just Meh. I don't see a real contender either for the East or for the championship. I really don't even see a contender for the top three in the East there. So without spending too much more time on that division, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, who you got?
Hornets, Hawks. I think Magic get really close to a playoff spot, but they just don't have enough backcourt skill. Wizards, Heat are going to have a pretty bad year. And look out for Hassan Whiteside.
I think they could struggle.
Whiteside might be struggling a lot this year, I think.
Yep. I he could have certainly have a very underwhelming year. And I kind of feel like we're on the same page with a lot of these. I'm sure we'll get into some disagreements more as we get more into the season and have our and into the Western Conference as well. But I'm going to go pretty similar to what you said. I think I'll go the Hornets, number one. Wizards might be right there with the Hawks. I'm going to say Wizards, then Hawks, Magic, and Heat. Actually, Heat, and then Magic. I think the Magic are going to be pretty terrible this year.
I think the Magic will be a little bit better just because they do bring in Ibaka. They still have Fournier, who's good. Aaron Gordon, who's good for at least a couple dunks. But
that's about it.
But yeah, pretty much the entire Eastern Conference kind of just kind of be boiled down to meh.
Exactly. You know, I'm just so unenthused about so many of the teams, even like the Eastern contenders, you know.
I'm not really excited about the Raptors, really. No. Not excited about the Hornets. To be honest, individual players and stuff. I'm excited to see like how they do, but as a whole, like the Eastern Conference, like, is just
even an NBA game between, say, the Raptors and like the Pacers, it's huge for playoff implications and for seeding in the East most likely. It's just not exciting to me. Yeah.
But compared to the Western Conference.
The Western Conference, man.
I think this isn't the best Western Conference we'd have had in the 10 years. I mean, we had that year like 50 win playoff teams didn't make the playoffs or whatever.
It's going to be tough to squeak in. But I think this is
a deep conference.
It's going to be tough to get into the playoffs. I totally agree. That eighth spot is going to be highly, highly contested.
Yeah, like, honestly, there's 12 teams, I think, in the Western Conference, excluding the Lakers, Suns, and Kings, that I think you could see somehow making the playoffs.
Nah.
I mean, some of them need a lot of help, like the Nuggets.
I don't see the Nuggets in there one day.
Or the Mavericks. Like, they would need a lot of help. But if things, like, gelled and fell the right way, it's not too out of the
Pelicans in there.
Pelicans actually do. I mean, we kind of forget 2 years ago they were in the playoffs, and then last year were absolutely decimated by injuries. And I like them, a couple of the roster moves that they made in the offseason. Like, they didn't really spend for a ton of like high guys, but they got a couple that are just really good quality players to have on your team.
So on that note, we'll start in the Southwest. The Pelicans, I'm really not sold on them. I think that they'll certainly be better than they were last year. I'm not buying them as a playoff team, though. You know, they were certainly, I mean, they were definitely hit by injuries really hard. And you can't expect for that to happen again this year, and you wouldn't want for that to happen. But they just don't have a bench. I mean, the bench is so, so weak. Yeah, they've got Anthony Davis, and he's an incredible player. And they've got some other guys like Drew Holiday, who I really like. But, I mean, after that, it's like you just don't got much.
Yeah, their problem is they invested a lot in front court several years ago. So they're stuck with, like, Omer Asik in their front line, who's not really adapting to the new NBA that well. But I kind of look at a couple of the moves that they've made. I mean, Anthony Davis, if he's healthy, is one of the top 10 players in the league. Yeah. Maybe top five.
I'm not going to argue on that.
And then Drew Holiday, I think Buddy Hield actually has a decent year. I mean, he's just going to be a three-point specialist for them, and that's all he can really do.
No, I don't see it.
But then they also added Terrence Jones, I think was a good pickup in the offseason. Etwan Moore, Solomon Hill. Like, they made a bunch of smart moves, I think, this year, which is it going to get them to, like, home court advantage in the playoffs? No, heck no. But it'll have them contending for the eighth seed, I think.
If they were in the East, yeah, they'd be in the playoffs. Well, even then, I don't know. I'm really not sold on this team. I'm sorry. Okay, so, I mean, other than that, in that division, you do have some pretty solid teams. I mean, the Spurs, probably the best team of the last 20 years. You've got the Mavericks, who this year, you know, I think that they're a big question mark to me. We'll see what happens there. But, I mean, the Grizzlies and the Rockets, you got, like, every team in that division has been in the playoffs in the last couple of years.
I think that kind of ends, to be honest. I think the Pelicans and Spurs get in the playoffs. Pelicans just barely. I don't really like the Rockets, Grizzlies, or Mavericks to make the playoffs this year.
No, I, yeah.
We'll get to the other divisions, but, I mean, Grizzlies are relying on Chandler Parsons, who cannot play an entire season healthy, and Rockets are relying on James Harden, who cannot play defense. So that division just kind of has some problems. Mavericks are relying on Harrison Barnes, who's a decent role player, but asking him to be the like face of your franchise is not a good option.
No, you know how I feel about Harrison Barnes. I feel like he is one of the most overpaid players in the history of the NBA who benefited enormously from the system that they have in Golden State. And putting him as the centerpiece of your team, awful move. I think that is going to be the downfall of the Mavericks.
I
hate that move.
I'm not as low on Harrison Barnes. I definitely don't think he's worth maximum money. I mean, $20 million a year for him is not it for me. But, I mean, he is athletic. He is a good wing. He has size. He can guard in the low post and on the perimeter. Offensively, if he does recover from the atrociousness of those last year, especially in the finals, he's a good player to have on the team. Still overpriced. Nobody in that division is coming close to the Spurs, though. I mean, even without Duncan, that's still a 51 team easily.
Yeah. I'm not as high on the Spurs as a lot of people are this year. I mean, it's the Spurs. They're going to be in the playoffs, no question. Nobody's going to say they're not. But I don't think that they are. What'd they have last year? Something like 58?
They had 67 wins last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because they had they had an enormous
year.
They're
the best team in any other year that did not have the Warriors.
Yeah, and losing Duncan, you know, you can't underestimate losing one of the greatest players in the history of the game. However, I I'm not like writing off the Spurs. I just think that they do what the Spurs do and just kind of coast through the season. They'll show up in the playoffs and sure they could do some damage there, but I think that they're a 50 win team, maybe a little more, maybe 52, 53.
I put them around 55 just cuz Tim Duncan is an all-time great. But last year he was not an all-time great, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
he was pretty old.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, they bring in Pau Gasol to replace him. I don't really like that move because it's just another old body. I think the Spurs win this division. I think the Pelicans finish way far behind them, like by 15 games at least. And I think the Rockets and Grizzlies and Mavericks just kind of finish right outside there too.
So you think that the Pelicans finish 15 games behind the Spurs but still make it into the playoffs?
Well, if the Spurs win about 55, 56 games, that puts the Pelicans about 40, 42, and 40.
I don't think that gets you into the playoffs this year. In the West. So I'm just looking through that division. The Spurs are going to win it. I mean, without some serious injuries, I just don't think that there's enough talent on the other teams to contend. I think that the Pelicans finish last. No, they'll be competing with the Mavericks for the last spot in that division, I think. I'm just not sold on them, as I've said. So I think it goes Spurs, Grizzlies, Rockets, probably missing out on the playoffs. Like you said, I think only two teams from that division in the playoffs. And then Mavericks and Grizzlies and Pelicans. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't argue too much with that. I think Pelicans will kind of revert to 2 years ago for them a little bit more. But I guess to the reason I think that there's only two teams in this division that make the playoffs is because the Northwest Division, I think, is stacked this year.
And we're totally in agreement. I mean, we were talking about that before we started the show today. We're totally in agreement with that. That's my favorite division, and of course, I mean, I'm a Utah Jazz fan, so
we're not hiding that either.
I'm not gonna hide that. I'll alert you when I'm gonna be a homer. Is that fair? But I'm gonna be a homer at times.
Yeah, fair enough. I was homer with the Celtics, so.
So the Jazz. I mean, even aside from the Jazz, the Northwest Division is just stacked. I see three playoff teams from there, and a couple that are going to be better than expected.
I honestly see four playoff teams, and the only one I don't have making the playoffs, the Nuggets, I think they'll be like the 10th spot in the West. I think they'll be a little bit better than what we're expecting as well. But Thunder, Jazz, Blazers, and Timberwolves, like, each one of those teams, they're just good. Like, there's not really any other way to say it. Like, they have good rosters. They have good talent. Then, apart from maybe the Thunder with losing Durant, they're all set up to be pretty good for the foreseeable future as well.
And you know what? I don't think that wrecks the Thunder like some people think. I think that it certainly takes them down. I don't think that they're the competitor in the West that they were last year, you know, the one team from making the NBA Finals team. But I don't think it wrecks them either. I don't think that it just sets that train off of the tracks and in the wrong direction, because Russell Westbrook, man.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest.
Enough said.
I think that, I mean, the Thunder will lose a couple games from their record from last year, but it might actually kind of make
right
them.
At the beginning.
Yeah, I think it might make them actually a little bit better overall, because now you're not going to have that Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, like, grab at the ball, like, throughout all the games. You know who the alpha dog is. You know what he's going to do. Nobody's still going to be able to stop him driving through the lane. I think Oladipo is going to be terrific for them. I think that's an awesome pickup for them to get him and Sabonis, the 12th pick in the draft, from Serge Ibaka. I think that was an immaculate trade from Sam Presti.
I think we're in for a Kobe Bryant-like season from Russell Westbrook with a little bit more passing, a lot more passing.
Yeah, I was going to say, go back to, like, David Robinson and stuff like
that.
As
far as just domination, I think that he is just gonna dominate this league. He's gonna put on a show. I don't think he has all the pieces around him that make them a contender.
They need three-point shooting.
And I mean, what are you supposed to do when you lose one of the top two guys in the NBA in the offseason? What are you gonna do? How are you gonna improve that team? You're not. It's impossible. But you know, they've got the base, and as long as they're able to hold on to Westbrook and some of these younger guys that they have, there's no doubt in my mind that down the road, these guys could be right back in contention.
I mean, honestly, it's a good spot for a free agent to go next year. I mean, you look at this, like, this year, I'm excited to see Westbrook, but then you have Cantor and Adams just right there at the rim, who's either going to get lobs from Westbrook or just eat up all the misses that he does miss.
Yep.
Like, it's going to be a fun team to watch. Going else through the division as well, I mean, Jazz, I've been low on the Jazz for several years. I think this is the year they actually finally get into the playoffs. And honestly, I think they have a shot at, like, the 2 seed in the West.
My homer version of myself says absolutely. I think that, okay, it's, I mean, the thing is with the NBA, so much of it depends on health. And to me, the Jazz with a healthy squad the last 2 years are absolutely a playoff team. Last year, probably a 5th or 6th seed. Just because they were so hammered with injuries to Gobert, to Favors, to Dante Exum missing the entire season.
And that has to go right for them this year to get
and
the 2 seed.
And it absolutely has to go right. If they are a healthy team, I think that that's possible. I mean, I'd put their ceiling probably at 3 with a mostly healthy squad. I think that's an optimistic prediction. But I'll cite something that an article that was circulating around, especially around Utah Jazz fans on Twitter and message boards, a CBS Sports article that ranked every bench and starting unit in the NBA. They had the Jazz with the number one bench, which I can't argue. I mean, looking at this bench, it's absolutely stacked with some of the offseason moves they made. And they had them with the number 4 starting group, which is probably, in my eyes, a couple spots too high.
Yeah,
but, I mean, regardless, if you've got such a good starting lineup and a good bench, that's, I mean, that's your team. That's a solid team.
It all comes down to injuries. I mean, they have a deep bench, but if Gobert and Favors go down, Trey Lyles is not going to be able to really step into that and fill that entire need. I like Trey Lyles, but I mean,
I think that he could fill it decently. And here's the thing: so the Jazz, the biggest thing they've built on is depth. And so, to me, I don't think that a couple of injuries derail their season. A couple of big, long-term injuries, season-ending injuries, that kills them.
Like, if Gobert goes out for 2 months, exactly. I mean, they'll be able to tread water with Trey Lyles or somebody plugging in, but they're not going to be able to keep pace with, like, the Clippers or, like, even the Thunder or somebody to stay in the race for, like, a second or third seed.
Whereas last year, say, an injury to Gordon Hayward, like the one that they're facing right now, where he's probably going to miss the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, that would have killed them, especially long term, because who they got coming off the bench after him would have been Joe Ingles.
Yeah, now they got.
I love Jingling Joe, but.
But now they got like now, Joe Johnson.
Now you could put in Joe Johnson. You could. I mean, you've got Alec Burks coming back.
You can move Ronnie Hood up to the three. Move Hood over. Bring in Burks. You still have George Hill, who's an oversized point guard, anyways.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to make this the Utah Jazz show, but I will say just the additions that they made in the offseason, I give it an absolute A+ grade. I love the addition of George Hill and of Joe Johnson and of Boris Diaw. Man, yeah. Aside from him being one of my favorite players to watch, it's solid.
Yeah, apart from the Warriors, I think the Jazz may have had one of the best off seasons in the NBA, and the Warriors only beat that because they got Kevin Durant.
Right.
But before we move on to that division, we need to say at least one more thing that I know you're going to disagree with me here. I freaking love the Timberwolves this year. Like, you talk about League Pass Darlings, that's it for me. I think this is the year that the Timberwolves take the next step. Karl Anthony Towns becomes an absolutely monster season. I think they could get the 5 seed in the West.
No. To me, making the playoffs for them is possible. It's possible. I don't think it's likely. And getting the 5 seed, I think that's way above their ceiling. Now, listen, this is a team that a couple years down the road, you know, maybe at this time next season, I'll be agreeing with you on this or saying even higher things about them. I still think they got a little bit to go, a little bit of maturing to do. I love Karl Anthony Towns. He's the future of the NBA. I'm not gonna fight you on that. I love Andrew Wiggins. I love some of these guys they've got. Ricky Rubio's a solid point guard. He gets a lot of hate, gets a lot of heat. He's a solid guy. They're not a bad team. They got a lot of pieces.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're there.
Here's the one thing that kind of convinced me is Tom Thibodeau is a really good hire for this team. Just because last year you had the Timberwolves, get this, they had 113.5 points per 100 possessions, which was better than even the Warriors in the NBA. That was first. They sucked on defense, though. Like, that's the only reason they really lost that all the many games they did is because they couldn't defend anybody. They scored, they gave it right back. Thibodeau, though, defensive-minded coach, I think he fixes that. I think this team makes a massive jump. And, I mean,
Chris Dunn having a big season would be huge for them, too. They need some point guard depth, and he could do it for them. So, yeah. In that division, and I hate to gloss over the Blazers because, Blazers are solid. They're a very, very good team. I think that they could very well be the second or third seed in the West.
Damian Lillard is possibly, I would say, maybe the third best player in the West. I think behind Steph and Kevin Durant.
I won't fight you on that. He is unbelievable. Unbelievably when he's on, unappreciated, too. Yeah,
when he's on, nobody can really stop him. But that division, I think, finishes Jazz. I would probably say Timberwolves second. But it's like within a game or two with them and the Thunder and the Blazers and then the Nuggets.
I'm sorry. The Timberwolves are not finishing above the Blazers. No way.
It's going to be really close. They'll all be like 47, 48 wins. The Thunder, Blazers, and Wolves.
I think the Jazz are tightly contested by the Blazers. I think it'll be a dogfight between the two to win the division. I won't make a pick because I am a Jazz fan. One of those two will win it. The other one will be second place. and then I think some space, and then the Thunder, and then the Timberwolves, probably just right on the edge of the playoffs. I'm going to put them in the ninth seed, and then the Nuggets quite a ways down. I think the Nuggets are...
Well, I'll be watching pretty much every Timberwolves NBA League pass game this year. But moving on, last division.
Probably one of the most uninteresting to me.
To be honest, yeah, just because it's Warriors. It's pretty much this is a race to see how many games they win this year again. And then you got the Clippers far behind them and everybody else that falls off the cliff.
I'm going to do y'all a favor and not even say a word about the Warriors because what hasn't already been said?
Yeah.
You want to hear about the Warriors, turn on ESPN 24 hours of the day, 365 days of the year. You'll hear plenty of coverage. They're going to win the West probably in all likelihood without injuries. That's enough. That's all I'm going to say.
538 released their projections for this year, and granted, they're not perfect, but their odds for the Warriors to win the title, like not even win the West, to win the NBA Finals, is 55%. It's ridiculous.
Don't take too much stock into that, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's imperfect, but I mean, the fact that they have them so high, no MLB team left in the playoffs right now has odds that high to win the World Series. It's crazy. But
to me, the Pacific is very similar to the Atlantic. You got two good teams. I mean, the Warriors, a very good team. You got the Clippers, a good team. And then you got three just the Lakers, the Suns, and the Kings. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the Kings are just, like, they're the Kings. They have absolutely no direction, no hope. Lakers and Suns at least have good players right now, like good young players that just need to take some time to develop. And this division in several years could be really good this year. It's just kind of, who cares really what happens? Warriors win it.
Yep. Okay. So that's every division in the NBA. Of course, throughout the season, we're going to be talking about a lot of these a lot more in depth. We'll probably break down some of the divisions in specific shows and dive a little bit more into them and talk about the teams and what we got there and what's going on. But right now we want to do what we call the Un-Awards. Is that what we want to call it? The Un-Awards.
I think so. I mean, there's not a really good way to say it. It's just
we could sit here and we could tell you, I think Russell Westbrook's going to win the MVP and
Brad Stevens and Greg Popovich will be the coaches of the year or whatever. But nobody wants to hear that.
Exactly.
They've heard that before. What you want to hear is who's going to be absolutely terrible. Who are you going to hear people railing on for the next 6 months?
So these are the opposites of the NBA awards. And we're going to go through these very quickly. What we'll do is we'll present the category and then give a short 20 to 30 second explanation of why we chose the players or coaches that we did. So, Daniel, go ahead and explain our first category.
Well, the biggest one, of course, you've got MVP, but opposite of that, you've got the LVP, the least valuable player. And I don't mean like Jimmer Fredette or like Nick Stauskas here. I mean like the star on a team that instead of making the team better, like drags it into a pit of despair. So for me, like, the best case of this, I think, is Blake Griffin. Not because I think Blake Griffin's a bad player. He's obviously good. But, I mean, if he punches, like, the equipment manager over dinner, he's got some issues. You've got him. You've got DeAndre Jordan. You've got Chris Paul dropping dimes. But I just do not see this working. Like, they've been together for so many years. It hasn't worked. I think Blake Griffin kind of blows his top this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm not as low on him as you are, but I think that the least valuable player of the year will be Carmelo Anthony. I don't know if that's really like a shocker or like an upset pick or anything. He's probably the front runner in this award category if there was one. He's old. He's playing on a team of old men. He showed he's got a little bit of spark left in the Team USA's international matches in the Olympics, and I don't think he's gone, but he's eating up a lot of cap space on that team, and they've centered the entire team around him instead of around some of the younger guys like Kristaps Porzingis, and I think that he's going to hurt their team.
And instead of playing with Klay Thompson, Draymond, he's playing with Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah. So this honorable mention, James Harden.
Okay, that's fair. This next award is somewhat self-explanatory. The dumbest coach of the year. Who you got?
Mike D'Antoni of the Houston Rockets with James Harden. I do not like this team at all. This is going to be a fun team to watch because they'll have a lot of three-pointers. They'll score 120 points a game, but they're also going to give up 130 because there's absolutely no defense. Mike D'Antoni's not a defensive coach. They're going to be relying on, I mean, James Harden, of course, to play defense, which is just bad. I mean, by the end of the season, Mike D'Antoni, people probably ought to be calling for his job, even though this is only his first season, just because I think they will not be a good team.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go with Doc Rivers here. Doc Rivers has had all kinds of talent. He's had more talent than most coaches could ever dream of having on his teams the last few years. He's had teams that on paper should have had championships, and they just underachieve. I don't think it's entirely Doc's fault, but I think he's a big part of it. And to be honest, I think that the Clippers get out to a really slow start this year, and Doc Rivers is gone by the All-Star break.
I could see it. I mean,
he'll get picked up elsewhere, and he might do a nice job elsewhere. I don't know. I think his time is coming up to an end in LA, though.
Yeah, I can see that. Next award we got, also pretty self-explanatory, the most underwhelming rookie. So maybe not like the worst rookie that we're seeing, but the one like we expect to do well, he's not. For me, Giorgio Papagiannis from Sacramento, I don't expect him to do anything, but I think he might even do less than that. I mean, the Kings are just a trash can full of...
Being on Sacramento, though, it'll give him an opportunity.
Well, maybe, because they have DeMarcus Cousins, who's going to get like 40 minutes a night. Then you got like Scott Labissiere. They've got a couple other big men. They're just too crowded for anybody to make an impact that's not DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
Plus, he was picked 13th, and he's not worth that.
No, I agree. I think that he was picked higher than he should have been. I don't think he's a Rookie of the Year candidate, but he'll do okay. I'm going to go with, well, beyond Ben Simmons, he's gonna disappoint because he'll be on the bench the entire year.
True.
Injured, which pisses me off, to be frank, because you know how much I love Ben Simmons and how much I believe he's going to be the future of this league. He will be. Mark my words. So the other most underwhelming rookie, Domantas Sabonis. I watched a lot of Domantas Sabonis in college. He is not an NBA player in my eyes. I think that he is one of the big international guys that's tall and he's got size, and he's going to disappear here after a few years, and you'll say, who's that? And the only reason you'll recognize him is because of his dad's name. So I got to go with Sabonis. He's really soft. He's just a soft player. Seeing him at Gonzaga, he did well there in Gonzaga's system, but I just don't see his talent translating.
I'm a little higher on him. I think being partnered with Enes Kanter and Steven Adams will help him a lot. But, I mean, again, he's not – I don't think he'll have a terrific season, but I think he'll at least hold his own. But
and our last category, the most unimproved player. This is for the player – I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, but the player who is going to – decrease in production overall from last season. And mine was kind of hard. I went between a few different guys. It's really hard to say. And I don't know if this one's necessarily fair because he already decreased a lot in production last year. I think Dwayne Wade's going to be pretty awful this year. And I hate to say it. Dwayne Wade's, you know, he's one of the fan favorites. He doesn't really have a ton of haters. He's a fun guy to watch. I just don't see him fitting into that Chicago team very well. I don't see him putting up bigger numbers than he did last year. I think that his points per game are going to decrease quite a bit. He'll probably stay about the same in passing and assists per game, but I think that by the end of the season, he's not even going to be seeing the court very much.
He was the number one option with the Heat, and he's definitely not the number one option with the Bulls. So you can't really argue that. I'm actually going to go with somebody on the Heat, Hassan Whiteside. He got a massive contract in the offseason. I think that's going to take a little bit of drive away from him, because that was kind of his big thing. Like, he was like undrafted guy or something, made no money whatsoever, and then just came out of nowhere to be this terrific guy. I think without that want to prove himself, I guess, still and get that contract, I think he'll take a dip. Plus, you got him. He's the only player on the team.
I really agree with you there, because I think that he also benefited from having a pretty decent core around him. And he put up huge defensive numbers, but he's not much of an offensive player. And they're going to need some offense on that team. So I think that his role will somewhat decrease. And I think that he'll be a bit of a letdown as well.
Yeah, I mean, that entire team, I think, will just kind of have a letdown. So,
but here's the good news. The NBA season's 1 week away.
Not even.
Not even.
4 days.
It's 4 days away. Yeah. I'm still caught up on, I'm still thinking it's like Tuesday or Wednesday. So the NBA season's a few days away. I think that this year we have a lot of surprises, a lot of teams that over exceed their expectations, and a lot of teams that are just disappointments.
I think this is kind of the beginning of a new era with the NBA. You have the Warriors take everybody by storm with positionless small ball, and now you have teams that are kind of taking that mold and filling it. And I think this is the year we kind of see a couple of those teams we don't see coming fill gaps and just kind of, like you said, surprise us and take the NBA by storm.
Yeah, I couldn't be more excited to watch it, though. Like, seriously, I think about in past years, my excitement for the NBA season, and of course part of this has to do with the high expectations I have for the Jazz. I won't lie, like, of course that's part of it. But just looking at the league as a whole, even if the Jazz were set to win 12 games this year, I think that there's a lot of teams that are just intriguing to me. A lot of teams that I'm excited to see how they click and how everything comes together for them and how they're able to perform in the regular season and the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, in a season where we almost know the Warriors are going to go and win the championship.
I disagree.
Like, we don't know it, but I'd bet them before I bet anybody else, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's still a ton of intrigue left in the NBA. There's still a lot of storylines. I'm interested to just follow the entire 82-game season, and it's just going to be freaking fun to watch.
And we're going to be here with you every step of the way. We're going to be having a podcast at least weekly on occasion. In special occasions, we may have more than one up per week. But we're going to shoot to make sure we have at least a podcast out every week, just talking about what's going on in the NBA, trades, about recent games, about who's excelling, about how our predictions personally are going.
About who has the best hair in the league.
About how wrong Daniel is about the Minnesota Timberwolves being the number 5 seed in the West.
About how Jaden's going to owe me a pizza when they do get the 5 seed in the West.
Is that the bet?
Sure. Let's put a pizza on it. All right. Not Little Caesars, though.
No, we got to. That's not pizza.
We got to get Papa John's, because half price when the Jazz win.
And which is going to be happening a lot.
Yeah, probably, if they're going to get the 2 seed.
And we'll sit down and eat that pizza together that you buy as we watch the Jazz win the NBA Finals.
About that. It's still going to be fun to watch.
Or we could just watch Sharknado
4. The Fourth Awakens. Yeah. You know, we'll be watching that. Shout out to Mark Cuban.
Yep, the only NBA owner who was also the president of the United States and fights sharks.
Saved us from a Sharknado. And with that, we're going to sign off. We're two guys talking about basketball, even though we don't know anything about basketball.
I know what I see on the TV, and that's about it.
I know what Jeff Van Gundy tells me. So,
anyway, thank you for listening. I hope that you are able to listen to future episodes and that you keep in touch with us throughout this entire season. Once again, this is View from the Nosebleeds.